In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we return to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, to a portion of Paul's letter to the church that is a bit odd, a bit obscure. If you've been following along, last Sunday we read from Corinthians 4. Now we're on to Corinthians 9. A lot has happened in the letter between these two chapters, between these past 7 days. Now some may ask why the Sunday readings go so quickly through the scriptures. And one of the most pragmatic reasons is if we were to spend every single Sunday on a chapter of Corinthians, it would take about 30% of our yearly Sunday epistle reading. So we have to move ahead each Sunday. And this is why it's so important to, first off, just read scriptures throughout the week, right? Because doing so gives us a bit more context as to what's going on. And so what's going on today? Well, as I said, today's epistle reading is a bit of an odd one. It's a bit obscure. St. Paul today gets very candid with the Corinthians and us about the seal of his apostleship in the Corinthian church and how he has not partaken of the rights assigned to him as an apostle, chiefly that despite the fact that some of the other apostles' livelihoods are being supported by the local churches, St. Paul has not exercised this right upon the Corinthians to support his basic needs, even though they very well could support his very basic needs, right? There's a lot that could be said about this passage, and it's a hard one to tease out the meaning in parts. St. Paul speaks about how he doesn't have a wife to accompany him, as some of the other apostles, such as Peter or Cephas, have. Nor does he receive any sort of support from the church he is evangelizing as the other apostles do, and as other evangelists to the Corinthians do even. Others, St. Paul says today, partake of this rite. St. Paul alone does not. So there's a lot there. And the first thing that can be said is about these other evangelists, besides Barnabas and Paul, who have received compensation from the Corinthians. What were these other evangelists teaching? Who was paying them? We do not know. We do know that there were other itinerant preachers that were roaming the hillsides of Judea and Palestine and Greece that were not part of the original band of apostles, right? Some of these individuals had good intentions. Many others had bad intentions. Perhaps it was one of these that St. Paul is speaking of. But whatever the reason, it seems like there is a possibility that others have come to Corinth and have been given some sort of compensation for their preaching. What were they preaching? We do not know, but perhaps, and this is just speculation, perhaps it was something that made the Corinthians want to lavish them with gifts, right? Or at the very least, pay them and not St. Paul. And this is a good place to start today. Today, we think of the writings of St. Paul as being priceless, as being irreplaceable. We read from them almost every day, every Sunday even. And yet, for the Corinthians, it seems like they couldn't be bothered with even supporting the poor guy. And one of the reasons for this, I think, is because he was probably telling them things that they didn't necessarily want to hear. Remember those 5 chapters between last Sunday's epistle reading and today's epistle reading. What happened in those chapters? Well, particularly in those chapters is a lot of admonishment by St. Paul. He preaches against sexual immorality. He rebukes the Corinthians for suing each other, and especially rebukes the Corinthians for scandalizing and becoming a stumbling block to the weaker of the congregation in matters of food sacrifice to idols. In all, St. Paul is using his authority as an apostle to correct the countless shortcomings of the church in Corinth. I think this is at least in part why the Corinthians aren't helping him out all that much, because St. Paul is giving them a bitter medicine, but medicine nonetheless. The church in Corinth has a lot of problems. And when those problems were made manifest to them, they at least in part decided to literally take their money elsewhere. This is a good first lesson of what not to do as a congregation, as a church. Don't just pay for what we want to hear from others, especially from our Christian leaders. If every sermon, for example, gives us the warm fuzzies, right? They make us feel comfortable. They don't challenge us. Then we've got a problem. What's more, if our opinion of the church or a bishop or a priest or another Christian, if how we view these people is based on whether or not they say things that we agree with all the time, If they check off all our boxes of what we think it means to be a Christian, and they don't challenge us, then we've also got a problem, right? Our Christianity, like St. Paul, should ask something of us. Sure, it doesn't always have to beat us down, right? It doesn't have to make us feel insufficient, but it should always be pointing towards a higher way, a better way. It should give us hope, but it should also always be willing to tell us that it is not yet time to fully rest. Our Christianity should always be telling us that we worship a merciful God, and at the same time always be willing to tell us to put away sin lest we should perish. This is the knife's edge that we live on as Christians, resting along the way, but realizing that there is still a path to walk, realizing that when our own sins are uncovered, particularly by a St. Paul type figure as he does with the Corinthians in the preceding five chapters, that we just don't turn a blind eye and instead pay the preacher who just tells us what we want to hear. That's the prosperity gospel, right? And this brings us up to a really important point about St. Paul. He recognizes this fact that although some of the Corinthians, like St. Chloe in her household, who we mentioned in the first chapter, are receptive to his words, a sizable portion seems like they are not, at least to the point where he is not making a living off of his preaching to them. And yet we can see the love of St. Paul shine through. We know that he writes at least three letters to the Corinthians. We only have two of them, but this should strike us as important because St. Paul wasn't getting anything in return from this congregation, at least initially. He taught and instructed the Corinthians without pay. Such was his fervor for the gospel. Who does something like that? Only a saint does. And this is why St. Paul can call the Corinthians the seal or the confirmation or the proof of his apostleship. St. Paul's apostleship was called into question by some Christians, probably a number in the church at Corinth, since he was not one of the original disciples of the Lord. And yet, St. Paul tells us that it is the Corinthian church, a church that, among other things, is a bit of a mess. People are suing each other. There's an incestuous relationship happening, right? This church is the seal or confirmation of St. Paul's apostleship. Why? Well, because it's probably a bit of a miracle that there are Christians in Corinth. And because the Corinthian church has proven St. Paul to be a true apostle. He is without a doubt not in it for the money, right? He's without a doubt not in it to be liked. He's not in it for the honor, right? He calls himself the refuse of the world. The church at Corinth tests St. Paul like a fire tests metal, and it shows him to be a true apostle, someone aflame with the love of God. St. Paul does not abandon Corinth. Instead, like a physician, he corrects and heals them. He brings them back. And like I mentioned last week, the church in Corinth still exists, right? It has a bishop, Metropolitan Dionysius, has about 100 to 115 churches in an area smaller than Rhode Island. So thanks to St. Paul's patience and long-suffering, Corinth is still alive and well. This is what it means to be a Christian. It means to freely give the gospel, even to those who we may not even deem as worthy of being Christians. Think about the great saint that we celebrate today, St. Moses the Ethiopian, a robber, a murderer, taken in by monks, not beyond redemption, not beyond salvation, earnest in his repentance and confession for his past misdeeds. The monks in the area were suspicious when St. Moses first showed up at their monastery, right? And yet through his radical change of heart, he eventually became a great spiritual leader of the monastery. He protected the monastery from other robbers and converted many of them to Christianity through his own patience and long-suffering with them. In this way, St. Moses imitated St. Paul. And as we know, we can and should imitate the saints because ultimately they imitate Christ. So may we not be quick to dismiss those who admonish us. As the book of Proverbs says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. May we Christians always be learning from the saints throughout all the ages. Through the prayers of St. Paul and St. Moses of Ethiopia and of all the saints. Amen.